All right, if you did not get one of these green sheets, our ushers have those, and just put your hand up. It was suggested by one of the folks that we put the verses that are being used in the lesson on the back. And so that's an intimidating list back there, all right? I'm not going to have you turn to all these this morning, but we will be turning to, I would probably say most of them. Well, maybe about two-thirds of them. So, all right. So we're going to start out, as you see there at the top, the book of Judges. So let's turn to the book of Judges and chapter 13. And hold your place there. And I'll hold my place there. And then turn to the book of Genesis. Chapter 4, there was, in the lesson notes here, they quoted a guy named Patrick Peyton, and he said, "The family that prays together stays together." And so our lesson today is about praying for the family, your family, and that'll be our lesson, and we're going to look at some passages about prayer and about the needs for the various people in the family that we can pray for. Let me get my green sheet. There we go. And so Genesis chapter 4, and of course Genesis chapter 4 is not a very good section of the Bible necessarily. It's the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. That is the first murder. And it's the murder. Cain murdered his brother. And so, definitely a bad family situation there. In verse 26 of chapter 4 in Genesis, and it says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord." See, Genesis chapter 4, we, Adam and Eve, they see the consequences of sin, their own sin, and how it affected their family. And you know, Abel was dead, God dealt with Cain, and then Adam and Eve had another son, Seth, and Eve was quite pleased about that, that she got another son. She had another chance, basically. God was merciful and gave them another chance with Seth. See, Cain was cut off by his own choice. He was cut off from God. God tried to deal with him, and he refused. He said, "I don't want any more to do with you, God." And Cain started a whole lineage of people that refused and rejected God. Mm-hmm. Okay? But starting with Seth, it says that, Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. With Seth, he started a lineage of people who wanted a relationship with God, who wanted to know God, who wanted to hear from God, who wanted to follow God. And so the most beneficial social structure that we have in our entire world is the God-ordained, God-created family of two-parent household. And the devil is trying mightily to destroy that, to twist it, to mess it up. And if he can, the consequences can last for generations. All right? In Joshua, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. So much later now. Joshua brought the people into the promised land. He brought the Israelites in. And he's coming to the end of his life. And the land is divided among the people. And Joshua 24, verse 15, he challenges the people. He says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua made a determination for not just him, but his family to serve the Lord. That kind of commitment, that entire commitment for an entire family requires prayer. You can't do anything without prayer. And then just a few pages over is our text. I hope Joshua's words resonate with you in that you want you and your family to follow the Lord.
Amen.
But if that's the case, then you're going to need to pray. In Joshua 13, we have... Yeah, 13. Sorry. A little befuddled this morning. Verses 8 and 9. And this is the circumstances leading up to the birth of Samson. And it says, "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the angel had appeared to Manoah's wife, said, you're going to have a son and you're going to do these things. Even you are going to do these certain things because he is going to have a special vow upon him from the womb and God was going to use him. She told her husband, and her husband, you know, obviously a little skeptical, and he prayed to God, send that person, that angel again, to teach. I'd like to hear this for myself, is what he was saying, essentially. And God heard his prayer. God answered his prayer because God had a purpose with this child. Manoah is asking God for wisdom, and we cannot pray, bless me and my three. That's too vague. You need to be specific. Manoah said, I want you to teach me. I want you to tell me exactly what we need to do for this child. And James chapter 1 is a big key. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If we lack wisdom, if we want wisdom for raising our families, if we want wisdom in how to raise our kids, if we want wisdom on how to treat each other as husband and wife in the house, we have got to pray. If we want wisdom, if we say, I don't know what to do, James says, pray. God will give wisdom. And where does God give wisdom from? His word. He doesn't just put good ideas in our head. Just ideas flying into your head is not a good source for godly information. When ideas come to your head, check them with the book and see how they line up. Because we do have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come along and remind us of scriptural teaching. But we better make sure it's in the book. Manoah asked that he would be taught. Divine instruction comes from God. And we understand that this, our Bible, is a big book, isn't it? So where's a good place to turn for wisdom in our Bible? Well, the book of wisdom, that would be Proverbs. Proverbs is a good place to start. A lot of practical information in there. Practical information like we learned about on Wednesday, that we can pray back to God and ask for him to bring about in our life. This lesson is going to teach you some of the ways to pray for specific members of your family. I jotted a little note down here. I have a couple of verses here that aren't going to be on that list, so you're still going to have to pay attention and yeah, I'm not just counting on that list because I modified a little bit here. Matthew says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We've got to do more than just pray for health and safety and a good career and a good life for our kids. We've got to pray for them spiritually. We've got to pray for their soul. We've got to pray that they become godly men and women. And that's what we want. So let's get started we're going to talk about first how to pray for, if you're filling in the blanks there, how to pray for the husband or the man of the house. We'll put it that way. Pray for the man of the house. And that first section, A, is as a husband. What can we pray? Ladies, teens, what can you pray regarding your husband or your dad? Because you have a role in this. It's not just the dad who prays for the family. Everybody's got to be involved in this. How can you pray for that father or that husband in your house? First, you can pray that his faith in God would be strong. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. That is, faith in God will be strong. In verses 16 and 17, it says that, and this is Paul, he says that he would grant you, speaking to the church at Ephesus, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. We need to be rooted and grounded in God, in faith, and in godly love, as husbands. If our love relationship with God isn't right, our love relationship with our wife and with our children isn't going to be right. So we can pray this. We can pray this for the father and the husband. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Might want to stick a bookmark there in the book of Proverbs, because we'll be bouncing back there quite a bit. Proverbs chapter 14. I'm starting to think I should have put some tabs in myself so I could turn there quicker. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." When we fear the Lord, we can have strong confidence as men in the house. If our family is praying for this, that we would fear the Lord, they'll be praying for us. They'll be praying with us, praying to help us. We want to help each other in our families because, as I said, the devil in the world wants to tear these things apart. And prayer is our first line of defense. When your dad or when your husband goes to work, he's getting bombarded with worldly influences. We need to pray that he would be strong in his faith. We need to pray that he would walk in the Spirit. In Galatians, turn to Galatians. Galatians 5:16. And there it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And you could include verses 19 through 21 there. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication," and the list goes on. You're familiar with the list of things. If the husband and the father is not walking in the Spirit, there's an opening to all those things in verses 19 through 21. And people get blindsided. They say, "I can't believe that this happened." If you're not walking in the Spirit, any of those things can happen, horrible as they may be. So you need to pray that he would be walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, not providing that open door, that opportunity. You can pray that he might make wise decisions for his family. We know the story of the book of Ruth. And, well, they wound up making a wrong decision. The head of the family wound up making a wrong decision in leaving where they were supposed to be, leaving that promised land. And it didn't go well. He died. His sons died. His wife was left a widow because he had walked out of God's will because of persecution, because of a famine that happened. He didn't make a wise decision. We compare that with Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. God was talking about Abraham. He says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Abraham was committed to being where God wanted him. Yes, Abraham messed up a couple of times. We are going to mess up. And even though you pray, your husband and your father is not going to be perfect. Only one qualifies for that position, as Jesus Christ. But pray for him so that he would be walking according to the Spirit, making godly, wise decisions, being in the will of God and doing the will of God as much as possible. And we need to pray that he might understand and minister to. We're talking about his role as a husband here specifically. He might minister to the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of his wife. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse number 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Did you catch that? The way that the husband treats his wife affects all the rest of his prayers and what God can do. If he's not treating his wife right, it's going to affect this other stuff that he's praying for. And though even though he may be praying right for decisions and wisdom and things like that, if he's not treating his wife properly, it's going to interfere with those prayers. So you need to be praying as a wife and as a young person in the house that your father would love your wife, would love his wife. Pray that he would minister. And we have an example of that with Elkanah. He tried his best to alleviate his wife's heartache over not having a child. It says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion." And that sacrifices that he was doing, he gave her a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" He was concerned about his wife. He wanted to help. He wanted to minister to her as much as he was able. Pray that your husband or that your father would be that way, would be like Elkanah. And pray, too, that he might maintain a good reputation in society. In Proverbs 31:23. Pray that he would maintain his testimony. Like I said, you get bombarded out there in the world. Proverbs 31:23, talking about the virtuous woman. "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." Pray that he would be known as a godly man in the workplace, among his friends, to the gas station, the people at the gym, know that this man is a godly man. This man walks with God. Pray that your husband, that your father would be that sort of man. So pray for the man of the house as a husband. Wives, pray that he would have this reputation, that he would maintain a godly testimony. When we let that testimony drop, that's when a lot of the arrows start shooting in. those distractions, those sins. That when the devil sees an opening, and that opening happens when we let our testimony drop, start trying to blend in, maintain a good reputation, maintain his testimony as a Christian. And we want to pray for the man of the house as a father. Turn to Deuteronomy. Six and seven. And here it says, Moses speaking to the people and said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." As a father, pray that as a father in the house, he would be teaching his children the ways of God, the Word of God. And as the Word is quick and powerful, teaching the children, especially the things of God, is not the women's work. Right. We have a responsibility as men, all right? But we need help. We need to be prayed for. Pray for the man of the house, that he would step up and take this responsibility seriously to do these things. As a father, sometimes the things that I struggle with is, well, step back. Let my wife do the teaching. She homeschools. She does a lot of the teaching. Now I need to step forward. But we need prayer to help to have boldness to do that as a father in the house. And of course, Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And like Deuteronomy says, it really paints that picture there in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. Be talking about the things of God all the time. And when you're going to the grocery store, talk with your kids about the things of God. When you're at the dinner table, mention some things, like maybe from your devotion time. But you need to pray for these things. You need God's power to come in and fill the man of the house so that he remembers to do these things. As a father, pray that he be temperate, spirit-controlled with his children, restraining and correcting them in love. Colossians 3:21, if we turn there. Colossians 3:21. And that says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Fathers have a big influence in encouraging or discouraging their children. We need to pray that the father would be spirit controlled and not provoke them, not discourage them. As a husband and a father, I know I have a bit of a bent toward anger, aggressiveness. And that's not how God wants me to raise my children. You need to pray for the man of the house. Pray this to God. Pray this exact verse to God. Pray that your husband, that your father would do this, would be like this. God, make him like this. Pray these things back to God. Love corrects. Love does not remove restraint. The world has it confused. We want to take all the limits off of the children. Let them do whatever they want, whenever they want. Let them watch what they want. Let them listen to what they want. No, love puts boundaries in place. And it doesn't have to be a barbed wire fence. Nurture, kindness, sweetness. Pray that the father of the house will put those boundaries in place that way and not move them. but not make them harsh either. Love corrects. Pray that he can successfully relate to, guide, and inspire his children. 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. And as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. See how they did it. See how Paul ministered to those believers there. Exhorted and comforted and charged every one of them as a father does his children. Pray that the man of the house would do that, would be an encourager in the house and not a discourager. And pray that he would receive the strength and ability to provide for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of his family. Just a few pages over, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 8. Says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In this case, it was speaking about the widows, but the man of the house has a responsibility to provide for his family, for his children. Pray that he would be able to do that. And not just materially, but spiritually. That he would have the strength and the ability to do that. That God would provide and maintain the right job at the right time. But that the father would also depend upon God and rely upon God for these things as well. And lastly in this section, how to pray for the man of the house as a grandfather. Once the kids move out and start having kids of their own, you're not exempted from needing prayer. Pray that he may continue to provide wise counsel to his grown children. We have the book of Proverbs. When Solomon wrote a lot of that stuff down, his son Rehoboam was likely not a child or a teen. He was probably getting to be a grown man. Probably, with a lot of them, was a grown man. And this book was compiled to be able to pass to his son and his son to pass on. Solomon made sure that this stuff got recorded, and God made sure it got recorded in a book to pass down from generation to generation. As a grandfather, pray for your own grandparents that they would stand fast in the faith, that they would continue to give wise counsel to their sons and daughters in raising their sons and daughters, that next generation. Proverbs was written down for posterity's sake. Pray that he might age gracefully and godly. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, and verse 31. And that says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Not just the gray hair, or any hair, I guess. I think I should, mention that too. But that elder person with the gray head would not just be old and not just have worldly wisdom, but in righteousness, godliness, that they would maintain their walk with the Lord all the way to the end as an example to their own children and the grandchildren and, God willing, the great-grandchildren, that they would do that. Amen. So these things we need to pray for the man of the house. How do we pray for the lady of the house? That's number two there on your sheet, how to pray for the lady of the house. As a wife, husbands, pray for your wife that she may exhibit the beauty of a spiritual adornment. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 3:3-4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Pray that the lady of the house would be godly. Be worried about pleasing God and not putting on appearances. That she'd be walking with the Lord. That beauty of spiritual adornment. Pray too that she would sweetly follow her husband's leadership and not be worrisome. Psalm 127. Let's turn to Psalm 127. And verse 2. And that says, and it's probably a pretty familiar verse to you, probably the whole psalm is pretty familiar. Verse 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Worry. Pray that the lady of the house would follow the leadership of her husband and trust in him. You know what? First and foremost, trust in God. Amen. That God, if she's praying for him, the way that we talked about it is praying for the man of the house, then she can rest in God and rest in her husband and trust him and not be worried. Know that God is in control. These prayers for each other, see how they team up together and work together and help establish each other in the Lord. Pray that she would sweetly follow her husband's leadership. And I'll just read 1 Peter 3:5-6. It says, for after this manner and in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjected to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Who trusted in God and obeyed their husbands. See, these are things that we struggle with as men, as women, in our households. We need to pray for each other that we'd be able to be overcomers in these areas. Pray that she would sweetly follow her husband's leadership. Pray that she would have that beauty of spiritual adornment of being a godly woman. And pray that she would know how to build up her husband. So, Proverbs again. Chapter 19. In verse 13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. It's continually dropping out there right now. Do you like to stand out there in that weather right now where it just rains and rains and rains? Proverbs compares. This is a contrast. That's not how you build up your husband. Being like that continual dropping. That you might build him up. If you turn just a few pages over, Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 11. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Pray that the lady of the house would build up her husband, that he would trust in her, that she would be trustworthy, that he would have no need of whatever the world tries to tempt him with, because he knows he has what God wants him to have in his home. Pray for your wife. Pray that she would be walking in these things. She needs your help. We're fighting against the flesh. As husbands, as wives, we're fighting against the flesh. We're fighting against the world. Pray for each other. As a wife, as a mother, pray that she will be a good keeper at home. You're there in Proverbs 31, verses 14 and 15. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. There's lots of things to pray for your wife and your mother here in Proverbs 31. Pray it back to God that she would be a good keeper in the home. And the home wouldn't be a place of distraction. She needs help. She needs prayer in these things. Pray that she will effectively influence the children by our faith and instruction. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. We're not talking about the grandmother situation right now. We're talking about the mother. And she will effectively influence her children by her faith. Moms have a huge influence, especially when little. Pray for the lady of the house that she would have a godly influence. Pray for your mom that she would have a godly influence on you, her children. Pray that she will take and make the time to sit at Jesus' feet. We have that example in Luke chapter 10. And won't have you turn there for sake of time. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And she said, "My sister's not doing anything. Mary's not doing anything. Tell her to help me." And Jesus says, "No, she's chosen the right thing to do, to sit at my feet, to listen to me, to worship me, to fellowship with me." And you see, number one here in the section with the mother, that she'd be a good keeper at home, but that she would also sit at Jesus' feet. Sometimes these pull at each other. Just pray for discernment, that she would know when, okay, now the dishes can sit. I need to spend time in the Word. I need to pray. Pray that she would know when to do that. As you get wrapped up in the stuff, she gets wrapped up in the stuff and just keeps going, going, going. Next thing you know, it's night and she hasn't spent any time with the Lord. As a result, she has flown off the handle a little bit. We've been there. We need prayer for each other. Your mom needs prayer. Husbands, your wives need prayer when they're keeping the home. Understand that, okay, the dishes need to sit so that she can spend some time with God. Pray that she would know what that balance is in her life and her role as a mother, as a grandmother. Pray that she may be used to set a godly example for others. We're in the T section there in the Bible. Turn to Titus, just a couple pages over. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is all related to stuff that the young ladies should be doing, but the grandmothers have a role. Pray for your own grandmother for godliness, so that she'd be willing to take the time to spend with the grown children, to counsel the grown children, to counsel the grandchildren. Give them some leeway, but pray for them that they wouldn't just tune out when it comes to the next generation. And of course, Proverbs 16:31 again, that she might age gracefully and godly, that hoary head, remember? That the lady of the house would maintain that godly testimony all the way to the end. An example. Pray that she would hold on to that as she gets older. And then section 3, how to pray for children in the home. And this one, I don't think is in the list, but it came right to mind. Job chapter 1. This is a good example, I think. Verses 4 and 5. Before all the calamities started happening to Job. It says, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job was constantly praying for his children, sacrificing for them. And no, husbands, fathers, mothers, wives, you can't take away your children's sin. You can't sacrifice for them. They have to come to trust Christ, but you can pray for them constantly, bringing them before the Lord, both parents. Pray for that work of conviction, but pray for them that God will be merciful, that God will protect them all the time. Praying for young children. 3a there in our notes. Praying for young children. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul talking to Timothy. Paul was reminding Timothy of some things, encouraging him. He reminded him there in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You remember Lois and Eunice teaching the scriptures to Timothy from a child. Pray that your children will learn the holy scriptures. Memorize, pray that they can, that God will give them the ability and the stick-to-itiveness to memorize those verses, even though it's difficult for Master Club, for Sunday school, maybe even the adult memory verse schedule. Pray that they can learn those, because God will use those later in their life. Pray that they may learn to love and respect the word of God. Psalm 119. David said, or the psalmist said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Pray that the children would love and respect the word of God. They would realize that this is God's book. Amen. That mom and dad take it seriously. that they would understand that they should too. Pray that they may learn to obey their parents. And that's Colossians 3:20. Very familiar verse. Maybe you have this one memorized. Children, maybe you have this one memorized. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Pray for your children to be obedient to you and obedient to God. In all these things, we need help. The man of the house needs help. The lady of the house needs help. The children need help. God's will doesn't just happen. God's plan doesn't just happen. We have to pray for these things for each other. Pray that they will give their hearts to their father. Several times in Proverbs, Solomon asks for his son's heart. For example, Proverbs 23, verse 26. And there it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Actually, all the book of Proverbs is Solomon crying out for his son's heart, wanting to get his son's heart and his heart to follow the Lord. Pray that they learn to respect those in authority. Book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1. Says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Those in authority, teachers, pastors, law enforcement officers, pray that they would show the proper respect to those authorities, because those are God-given authorities. So it would go well with them. Pray that they will be protected from knowing evil. We're in the book of Romans. Turn a couple pages over to Romans 16. And verse 19, Paul commending the believers there in Rome, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Pray for your young children that they don't have to essentially learn things the hard way. Pray that they would be wise. Pray that they would be simple from knowing evil. Pray that they will be helped by the Lord in developing their God-given talents. We have an example of that in the person of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. And I better step on it. All right. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17. "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Pray that God would help them develop and grow in their talents that He's given them. And pray that there will be no favorites in the home. Of course, we see a couple examples of that with Isaac and then with Jacob, and how there would be favorites. And children pick up on that real quick. Pray for your children that they wouldn't play into those sorts of things, that they wouldn't have a favorite parent, the mother or the father in particular. Pray for the youth. Pray that they would genuinely trust Christ and be saved. Ecclesiastes 12:1. That's not right, is it? Is that right? That doesn't look right. Okay. Okay. Pray that they will trust Christ and be saved. I don't think that's the right verse. Let's quick turn to Matthew 19. Hopefully this one's right one. 19. 16. Matthew 19, starting verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. We would say that this young man did what he was supposed to do, religiously speaking, but he still needed to be saved. Pray that your teens would be saved. Amen. Pray that they will guard themselves from sin and strive to do right. I'm just going to touch upon a couple of verses. We need to wrap things up here. So that's why we have the verses on the back. So you can look all that stuff up. That I don't get to because we're running out of time. All right, Psalm 119, verses 9-11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With thy whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Pray that they would strive to do right, that they would strive to do God's word, not be hearers only. Pray that they might be spiritually strong and successful in life. Pray that they would be effective in their witness to an influence for the truth. Like that Psalm 127, Lord build the house, and talks about how the children are like arrows in the quiver. What do? They challenge the enemy in the gate. Pray that your children would stand up in that gate to keep the adversary and the enemy out. Out of their lives, out of your family, and resist this influence in the world. Pray that they would do that. Pray that they will honor their parents. Of course, that's the first commandment with promise. They would dwell in the land, that would be well with them. Pray that they will find and marry a godly choice of a mate. Book of Proverbs. All sorts of advice for Rehoboam. Stay away from this sort of woman. Pursue this sort of woman. Solomon knew firsthand the trouble that comes with that. Pray for them to find the right choice for a mate. How to pray as a child in the home. Section 4. Pray for your parents. Pray that they will love each other. These things aren't just a given. Turn to Colossians 3:19. We'll turn to one more passage. 3:19. This is the command given to the husband. Children, you can pray for this for your parents. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That deals with husbands. And Titus deals with the wives. In chapter 2, it says, that they may teach the young women to be sober and love their husbands, to love their children. Pray for your parents. They need it. Pray that they will love Jesus and follow God's word. Pray for your brothers or sisters. Pray that you can learn to love and support one another in life. We have a contrast for that with Joseph's brothers, don't we? We're out to get him. Caused a lot of problems. And then, God watched out for Joseph, but cause problems for his brothers. Pray for each other as brothers and sisters. You would love each other, that you would encourage each other and support each other, especially in the things of the Lord. And to settle your quarrels in a right manner. Those, if anyone have aught against his brother and brings a sacrifice, go back and make that right. Pray for each other that you live together in unity, in harmony. And I put down in section 5, praying as a family. Fathers, pray with your children for their mother and for your mother and father, for the grandparents. Pray with your children. Mothers, pray with your children and for their father and your parents. Yes, get in your own prayer closet. Lift up the prayers that we've talked about in these issues to God, but pray with your children as well. Teach them to pray with you. Pray, husbands, pray with your wives in their presence. Let them hear you praying for them. It'll be an encouragement to them. And grandparents, pray together for all the family members. And in conclusion, maybe you've made mistakes in your family, or maybe there are serious problems in the family that you were raised in. You can change the direction away from sin and destruction toward godliness and holiness and healing, but it has to start with prayer. Amen. In divorce situations, it's difficult. Pray for the other, especially if they're the father of your children. They need prayer. It has to start with prayer, and it has to start with you. Whether you're the man of the house, whether you're the lady of the house, whether you're a child in the house, pray. It starts with praying. Joshua purposed to have a godly home. It doesn't just happen. All these things were things that we want to build in our life, and they don't get built in. A husband isn't these things. A wife isn't these things. A father and a mother is not these things unless they pray and someone is praying for them. Pray for each other. The church isn't the only place that should be a house of prayer. Our houses should be a house of prayer. Amen. And this is an area that I struggle with. And to be honest, it shows sometimes. We need to pray for each other and our families. And pray for other families, that they will be praying families as well. Purpose like Manoah did. Pray to God. Say, help me to pray. Remind me to pray. Show me what to pray for. He's given us a book full of what to pray for. And we've got a sheet full of verses. Pray these back to God this week. Pray for each other. Lift each other up. Build each other up. God wants a strong family. Without a strong family, there's not a strong church. It starts with you guys praying for each other in the home. Went a little over, so we have about 10 minutes or so. Use the restroom, use the water.